It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone in Radio Land. I am George Williams, and this is The George Williams Show. We're so glad to be behind the mic tonight, and we have a very special guest in the studio with us, and we'll introduce him in a short period. Folks, our number here is 251-343-0106, and I remind you, you can text us at that same number, okay? And if you have a text or a question for our special guests, feel free to call in or text in. All right, folks. There's a lot that's happening. My mind is heavy, I'm telling you, and it's really concerned. I've been around quite a while in law enforcement and military, and I'm retired from both. And, folks, I've never seen it like this in America. And mainly because of the Democrat politicians. And I just can't believe that they are doing what they're doing. And it has to stop. It has to stop. And as a law enforcement officer, a federal agent, and a military officer, I tell you, folks, we are handling these criminals. And I say criminals, I'm even talking about the political criminals. You saw what happened in Newark, New Jersey. You see what happened in some of our courts with these judges. And it's totally, and we've got to stop babying them. And you see what happened in some of our college campuses, on some of our college campuses with these Muslim extreme sympathizers and et cetera, et cetera. Folks, you know, it's bad. It's bad. And we're going to get into that with our guest. And here he is, Chris Callahan. Chris is a current city judge in Jackson, Alabama. And he's a former police officer in Atlanta, Georgia. So I brought him in to talk to you and find out what he think about this whole situation in America. It's not good. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, George. Thank you so much for having me.
Right. Chris, tell our audience a little bit about yourself. Now, Chris is not new to our station here, because when I can't make it or I can't do a show, I call on Chris to sit in for me. So he's not new to our station here. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, George, again, thank you for having me on. Like you said, as a retired police officer, as an attorney, as a judge, I have spent my entire life defending the rule of law and protecting American communities. Mm-hmm. I've seen firsthand how illegal immigration, sanctuary policies, open borders, they don't just threaten our national security. They erode public safety. Mm-hmm. They undermine the legal system that we all depend on mm-hmm. for our safety every day, even here in our local communities. Mm-hmm. I do support President Trump's America First policy because it puts the safety and prosperity of American citizens ahead of politics. We must secure our borders, and he's done a great job at that.
Right.
You know, President Biden talked about, well, we've got to pass this bill to protect the border, and President mm-hmm. Trump said, you don't need a new bill. We just need somebody willing to enforce the law. We need a new president, mm-hmm. and that's what happened. But we have to continue to secure our borders. We have to enforce our immigration laws and end the reckless sanctuary policies that make our neighborhoods less safe. A nation without borders is a nation without order, mm-hmm. and restoring order starts with putting America first.
Right.
And the Democrats do not put America first.
No.
They put Hamas first.
Right.
They put the rights of non-U.S. citizens first, which, last time I checked, they don't have the same rights that a U.S.
No.
citizen has.
No. That's correct. That is correct. Chris, you've seen on TV and about what's happening with some of the illegals who have court dates, and then the agents are there to take them, and you've seen judges and attorneys. They're trying to allow them to get away. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, what in the world is going on in America today? It's exactly what you said when we first came on.
Right.
I've never seen anything like it.
Right.
You know, I've been interested and been involved in politics since about the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Reagan was running against Jimmy Carter, and we had a poll in the school of who would win and how would the students vote, and I've been interested in it ever since.
Right.
But the when we have actual American, when we have Democrats who take active steps to protect, to hide criminals, mm-hmm. we had the Democrat judge who actually escorted a criminal out of the courtroom, knowing that the victim of the crime he was there on was never going to see justice, knowing that when she escorted him out of that building, he would never be back to face justice for the assault he had committed on an American citizen.
Right.
I mean, when Trump says America first, we're just saying, hey, let's be Americans and let's support America.
Right.
And the Democrats say, well, the America first policy is terrible. They would rather support and stand up for people who are not American citizens.
Correct.
I'm all for immigration, okay? I'm all for legal immigration.
Right.
I'm all for people being vetted. I mean, there are solutions to the problems we have. But even here in Alabama, it's estimated that we have over 77,000 illegal immigrants in Alabama right now, which represents about 1.6% of the Alabama population.
Right.
And it's a problem.
It's a big problem. So something has to be done. And I who do we start with? The administration is trying to, you know, do the executive orders and all that. But then the Democrats are looking for judges that they know will try to overturn President Trump's executive order.
That's right. And, you know, like I say, I follow the rule of law.
Right.
And just like it was every president that's come along gets to appoint their own federal judges.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works in the Constitution.
Right.
So these are duly appointed judges. Most of the ones who were going against President Trump's policies are judges who were appointed by President Obama or President Clinton or President Biden. Or although the ones appointed by President Biden, we're not sure if he really appointed them or if his aides appointed them or if his wife appointed them. We don't even know who appointed them.
We don't know.
We have this controversy with the auto pen coming, going on now. But they were duly appointed, and they have a right to bring a case in front of them. The problem is they are playing politics at the bench, which is never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way to remedy that, because they have lifetime appointments, is either for Congress to change the rules, change the law, so that they don't have lifetime appointments.
Correct.
Or these cases have to get to the United States Supreme Court. I don't see how a district judge can set policy for the entire nation. Executive policy. I think it's an overreach of their powers. But again, the way to check that is through an appeals process. And there is a due process for that. And I believe in that process, as bad as I hate that it's happening.
Right. Well, some of these, how many appeals courts are there? I know they're regional. And, you look in the D.C. area, okay? I think that's the third appeals court, and then you look in our area and you look in California area. How many different appeals courts do we have in the U.S.?
We have a total of 13 U.S. courts of appeals.
Okay.
They're known as circuit courts of appeals in the federal judiciary.
Right.
We have 11 numbered regional circuits, first through the 11th, of course. We sit in the 11th Circuit here, which sits in Atlanta. There's one D.C. court, and then there's a federal circuit which handles specialized cases nationwide. And I guess there's actually 14 because we have the United States Supreme Court, which
Supreme
is also
court.
An appellate court. Yeah.
Right. It's the next month, the next 2 months, to me, they're very critical because the Supreme Court, all of this will probably go up to the Supreme Court.
That's correct.
And we don't know what's going to happen up there. That is the big question. You know, normally we have six Supreme Court justices, Republican, and three Democrat. But, man, with some of the rulings that they've had, especially the Chief Justice, okay,
yes.
And the last Republican female, it's kind of, you know, big question mark.
There is, and I tell you what, I'd like to get in a little bit about just my own thoughts about that in the
All
Supreme
right.
Court whenever our break is over.
Yeah.
Now we're coming up on one shortly.
Yeah, let's wait until after the break, and then you'll go into that. All right, folks, we're talking to Judge Chris Callahan. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. Our special guest is Judge Chris Callahan. And we're talking about current events that are happening today, especially with our courts, with our and we're going to be getting into other things, sanctuary cities, our backing down of the police, okay, coming down hard on the police, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Folks, we need to correct this. Chris, welcome.
Well, thank you, George, and thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what baffles me is our United States Supreme Court justices go through a very rigorous vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to be the brightest legal minds in the country,
mm-hmm.
right? They have to be very highly qualified, very good education, and then we get these rulings that come down and they don't agree. That's just always baffled me. I don't know if they're the brightest legal minds and we're talking about calling balls and strikes in the legal field.
Mm-hmm.
Why is not every decision 9-0,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because politics does play a role
mm-hmm.
in their decisions, unfortunately.
Right.
I mean, we're all human, and we all are driven by our experiences in life and different things that we go through. And I just it's just something that's always baffled me.
Well,
not that it matters, but it's just something that's always baffled
right.
me.
Remember now, the last judge that was put on the Supreme Court, when she was going through her confirmation hearing, she couldn't even identify the difference between a man and a woman. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Right.
Yeah. She was asked, can you define a woman?
That should have disqualified her automatically.
Well, the senators get to vote, and we had a majority Democrat Senate at that time. Here's where it matters. You know, we think that our vote doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the fact that our borders were open for the last 4 years prior
mm-hmm.
to President Trump coming back into office. It's because people voted for Joe Biden.
Right.
Our votes do matter.
Mm-hmm.
They matter nationally. They matter locally. Votes have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Actions have consequences. I'm always encouraging people, get out and vote. Even
mm-hmm.
here in Mobile, I mean, I've ran for office here in Mobile before, and it's so discouraging, the low voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
But then we complain when things like this happen. But it does affect us individually, affects us personally. And really, the closer you get to local government, the more it affects you.
Right, right. Now, Chris, what about, we're talking about the courts. What about the decisions by the courts to knock down President Trump's executive order? I'm talking about district courts, okay? How can a district court knock down a American-wide order, because that's what an executive is,
right,
from the president. It pertains to all of America. And some district court judge said, no, You know, and they're not really going by the Constitution. To me, it's very, and I know the court system very well, it's illegal. So how can they do that? You being a lawyer and a judge.
Yeah, so the district courts, first of all, we have to recognize that they are federal courts, mm-hmm. all right? And so we're talking about they have federal jurisdiction, but mm-hmm. they're broken up within the circuits, right? And I mentioned right. earlier we have 13 circuits plus D.C. And so their decisions typically only hold water within the circuit.
The circuit, right.
That's why you may have differing opinions on things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may have a Fifth Circuit, which is over in New Orleans, holding something different than the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, and they may have differing opinions, and so they hold in that circuit.
Mm-hmm.
But the U.S. District Courts, so they do have the authority to block or strike down an executive order if that order is unconstitutional. So certain legal conditions have to be met. Mm-hmm. However, it's only really valid within
that district right.
that they're in, right? And it has to be unconstitutional. Courts, obviously, district courts have the ability to issue injunctions or, you know, whether temporary or permanent, or to stop enforcement of certain executive actions in their district. And again, they're binding within their jurisdiction, but they can then be appealed to the relevant U.S. courts of appeals and eventually the U.S. Supreme Court. What they don't have the ability to do is to block things nationwide, which mm-hmm. is what they've basically grasped onto. Some of them said, like telling somebody, "Hey, this isn't really in my district, but you have to tell that plane to come back from that other country, or you right. have to go get." You know, I mean, it just doesn't really work. It's
right.
not that is not a lawful order.
Right.
But again, judges make decisions.
Right.
And whether the judge's decision is constitutional or not, we have a process for that. That's an appellate process. It goes up
yeah.
on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually the Supreme Court's going to have to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, your producer, Phil, had asked me a question about, how do we have a check and balance if we're
right.
supposed to be co-equal
right.
branches of government, right? And how is the Supreme Court checked? Well, really, the only way they're checked is by us electing the right president, and
correct.
That president then, when there's an opening, appointing the right Supreme Court justice. That's
mm-hmm.
where the check is. And then, of course, Congress can also check the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court can make a ruling and Congress can say, well, we're going to pass a law
right.
that differs from your ruling,
right.
and now it complies with the law.
Right. Now, you mentioned this before, that federal judges are life serving, okay?
Correct.
And how can that be overturned? Can the Congress do that, or do they have to do an amendment to the Constitution? How can that be overturned?
Let me think about that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's a legal question I might have to think about.
Right.
How they get that power. Let me think about this just a second.
Right.
Would an amendment be necessary to make the appointments non-lifetime, right?
Non-lifetime, yes.
Sorry, I know we're on the radio and I'm trying to think here on the top of my head. I think, yes. Now, yes, a constitutional amendment would be necessary for the lifetime appointments for federal judges to go away. So Article 3, Section 1, I believe, says that, talks about judges of, I know it said the Supreme Court, but I'm pretty sure that it also says the inferior courts will hold their offices during good behavior.
Okay.
In other words, now, a judge can be removed for bad behavior.
Yes.
So, and that's what Trump had talked about.
For example, Alcee Hastings, remember him?
I don't remember
Florida. He was a district court judge.
Okay.
I know him quite well because we were in the same fraternity lodge, Kappa Alpha Psi.
Okay.
And Alcee was he's dead now. He died from cancer, but he's from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And he was a district court judge, and he got kicked off the bench. And then he ran for Congress in Fort Lauderdale, and he won.
He became a
congressman, but I knew him personally because we were in the same fraternity lodge.
How about that?
Fort Lauderdale Lodge, you know?
You know, we're talking about how important it is to vote and how that affects what we're going through today with illegal immigration. We have these problems going on today because Joe Biden was president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if Joe Biden even knew what was going on. I really don't know. I think they're looking into that. But what I do know is this, is that just yesterday, I think it was, in Boulder, Colorado, we had somebody, an illegal alien.
Illegal.
And they were illegal only because they overstayed their visa.
Right.
Right. So they were given a tourist visa. But firebombing a pro-Israeli
right.
Rally.
Right.
If you look back, we had a 12-year-old, Jocelyn Nungare,
right.
back in June of last year,
right.
murdered by an illegal alien. Nursing student, Lakin Riley, murdered February 2024
right.
by an illegal alien. Murder of Rachel Morin, August 2023. Illegal immigrant, I believe it was Victor Martinez Hernandez.
Right.
An immigrant from from El Salvador.
Look at 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
With the Israeli, two Israelis.
Yeah.
Were murdered.
The young kids, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And here's what I don't understand about the Democrats. Not only are they pro-illegal immigrant, not only do they fight for the rights of non-citizens over the rights of citizens, but most of the rhetoric that they're supporting now is very anti-Semitic. It's pro-Hamas. It's pro-terrorism.
Right. Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that we have two political parties within our representative republic that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we have a party that is for America, and we have a party that is anti-American.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out.
It's very hard to figure out.
Because if you look at the liberal news, the CNN, a.k.a. Clinton News Network, and LSD, alias MSNBC and some of the ABC and CBS.
And the DNC.
I mean, it's unbelievable. They absolutely lie.
Yes, okay?
They do. They don't give the news. They give their opinion.
That's correct.
To us. Okay? And it is a terrible situation.
I just can't believe how anti-American the national news media is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to go into our second break, and we're going to continue with Judge Chris Callahan after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. And we are on a mission. We are on a mission. And our special guest tonight is Judge Chris Callahan. And folks, you can give us a call. If you have any questions for Chris, please give us a call. 343-0106, and you can also text us at that same number. All right, Chris, I really appreciate you coming in and talking to our audience.
Well, I've known you for years, George. Love you to death, and I respect you, admire you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Great, great. Now, Chris, what are some of the other issues that we haven't discussed tonight that are concerning you about this whole situation?
Well, you know, we've talked about national security, border security. We've talked mm-hmm. about the rule of law, equal justice. We've talked about public safety a mm-hmm. little bit, law enforcement. But I want to kind of start there. My concern as a former police officer, you're a former federal agent,
mm-hmm.
is we have people doxing ICE agents. We have people posting their photos, home addresses, names
Correct.
Of their children and wives on telephone poles
Correct.
In these communities where illegal immigrants are, right. are gathered and living. And I'm worried about the safety of the law enforcement, mm-hmm. both federal law enforcement, local law enforcement. I mean, it's very scary mm-hmm. to be in law enforcement these days. Mm-hmm. And it seems just like some people just don't care.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one of the things that bothers me. It really, it's the sanctuary policies that handcuff police officers. They make communities more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
When local police are barred from cooperating with ICE, it puts officers and civilians at risk. You talked about it earlier, where the jails will take somebody convicted of murder, but they've got them on a DUI, and they notify ICE, well, we have them, or ICE finds out about it and says, but we're not going to turn them over. We'll let them out, and you can catch them if you can. Then you see these videos of them running through the streets.
Right.
What about the citizens that are on that street? That's what about true. The officers who then have to risk their lives to catch that person? I just think it's horrible. We have MS-13 gang members and other gang-affiliated individuals who have totally exploited the lax border policies to infiltrate American cities.
Mm-hmm.
They are everywhere.
Right.
Besides public safety, law enforcement, I'm really something we haven't touched on. It really concerns me is the economic impact
okay.
and the resource drain.
Right. I've thought about that too.
Yeah. Illegal immigration puts a financial strain on public schools, mm-hmm. hospitals, mm-hmm. welfare programs. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have people in this country who genuinely need welfare. They genuinely need help, whether it's food stamps or housing assistance or, you know, but please let's help Americans first. And please let's not use those resources having to fight. I mean, but we have to fight illegal immigration now. We have to fight criminal activity.
Chris, I've heard even Medicaid, okay? The administration was talking about getting folks who don't deserve Medicaid and health. And then we find out that a lot of illegals, the cities and the states put them on Medicaid.
You know, it's funny. In my law practice, I do business all over the world. I practice international business law is my main area of practice, but it takes me all over the country and all over the world. And recently I was up in New York, and the state legislature in New York rejected a bill that would pay for college tuition for Gold Star families.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these are people whose parents died defending our country,
right?
You know, and they said, we're not going to pay for the college of Gold Star children. However, they passed a bill and accepted a bill to pay for college tuition if you're an illegal immigrant.
Illegal. Unbelievable.
How crazy is that?
Right.
I mean, again, economic impact, resource drain. As an American first conservative, I support legal immigration that benefits the country.
Right.
Not illegal immigration that burdens working class families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, I have represented a company out in the Midwest who would legally import 9 months out of the year about 40,000 immigrants would come in on work visas. They would work 9 months and they'd have to go back to their country mm-hmm. to do farming. They'd have to go back to their country for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the same people come back, go back to their country, come back, but they do it legally.
Right.
And we benefit from that. And there is a need for that. And I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't continue, right now we're having to spend federal resources,
right.
local resources to try to combat crime. We have enough crime without the illegal immigrants.
Right. True.
you know? True.
And
then probably the one that really hurts my heart the most is the human trafficking
okay.
aspect of this, mm-hmm. you know, and really that gets down to a lot of the cartel pipelines. But the open border policies under President Biden have empowered the cartels. Every illegal immigrant who crosses illegally is tied to a $1 billion criminal operation
mm-hmm.
from the cartels.
That's true.
How many unaccompanied minors came across? We don't even know where they are.
We don't know.
No, because they're trafficked. They're either sex trafficked or they're labor trafficked. Or
right.
I mean, it is horrid.
Now, Chris, I worked the border for 3 years.
Yes.
Okay? In New Mexico. And when the illegals come in from South America, they have to come through Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay? And if Mexico wanted to help, they would stop them right there from coming in. They're not.
No.
Now, if you're close to the Texas, California, Arizona border of Mexico, from 50 to 100 miles, you see no government officials. They're all cartel members.
That's correct.
They're all cartel members.
Yeah, I don't think the Mexican government has the power to even fight the cartels. They're so powerful. They're so well-funded. They're so well-driven. I mean, they're funded by other communist governments like the CCP.
Right.
You know, North Korea,
right.
Iran.
Right.
I mean, you know, even back in the day of Muammar Gaddafi, they were doing the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
same thing.
But yeah, Mexico shouldn't even let them in Mexico to start with, much less to be able to get to the United States.
Right.
Because
right.
because most of the migrants coming in, they're not all from Mexico.
No.
They're from all over the world.
They're from all over the world.
Right. They're from Ecuador and El Salvador and Haiti and.
Yeah, and China.
Yeah.
China, and you know, I saw some of the documentaries where a lot of the Chinese that were coming in, well, before they get to the American border, somebody's giving them a lot of money.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay. Now, what are they going to do while they're here? To me, based on my knowledge, and even the universities, the students, they're spying.
Well, that's where the Chinese spies are. Is they come in on student visas,
right? Right.
And they have ties to the CCP.
Right.
Right now, it's estimated there's about 278,000 Chinese spies with ties to the CCP that are in our American universities.
In the university.
You know, at one time the Chinese Communist Party had in referring to Harvard, right?
Right.
Had said. That's our party school. Not party like, hey, we're going to have a dance party. No. But they were saying, this is our Communist Party school,
party
Harvard.
School.
Yeah,
right.
This is
yeah.
where we... So we, as Americans, we want to educate the Chinese spies. I mean, they're stealing, you know, Harvard has these arguments right now that, well, we're making all these research developments. No, China's stealing them all.
China's stealing them.
That's
China
right.
China is stealing them. How do you think they got to where they're at?
That's right.
They stole it.
Yes.
From America.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. And we're letting him. So you break it down. Our Democrat Party is basically siding with the CCP.
Right.
You know, right now, China is one of the greatest threats to America. And they attack us every way they can. They send in illegal vapes with video games on them and these bubblegum flavors. They send... they send the chemicals to Mexico for the fentanyl to kill Americans.
Right.
I mean, if you think that we're not already at war, they're just fighting it in a different way.
And starting off, that is what Trump's tariff was all about. It was for the Chinese, the Mexicans, and the Canadians, okay? The Chinese create the chemicals, send them to Mexico in the transient, status and send them to Canada and they come right into the U.S. That's what he started off with the tariff.
That's
stop
correct.
It or we're going to put tariff.
Now, that's correct.
Blown it, you know, into something else. But the real reason was because Trump tried to stop them from sending drugs into the United States.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know, if you really listen to what President Trump says when he talks about things, especially, you know, you hear him talk about this war between Russia and Ukraine, what he really cares about are souls. He says, people are dying.
Right.
These aren't even American people, but they're dying. Mm-hmm. They're human beings.
Right.
They have eternal souls and they're dying.
Right.
That's what he cares about.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's our president.
Right.
You know,
and America, how many... thousands of individuals are dying each week due to the fentanyl. I don't know the answer to that,
but it's pretty staggering. I mean, in mine and your day, it was heroin and crack cocaine. But
And but as fentanyl, some acid. Remember Dr. Timothy Leary? When I was stationed in Mexico, we had an agreement with the state police and the city police, and in different southern states, we were operation, it was called the, I can't think of the operation, but whenever they would stop someone coming from California, because that's where Timothy Leary was based.
Right.
And they used to have all of these drugs, Operation Interstate Pipeline.
Okay.
So
okay.
Whenever the police would catch them, they'd turn them over to us, and we would prosecute them and on the federal law.
Right.
Okay, because they would be bringing it from California. But they were bringing a lot of LSD from California.
Well, you were DEA, correct?
Right.
Okay, so as a DEA agent for a career, I mean, you were all over the world.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Have you ever, in your time as a DEA agent, ever seen anything like fentanyl?
Nothing. No. Nothing like. I mean, you know, the closest thing was crack. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they would take the cocaine powder, and then they would add my mind.
That's
but
right.
Anyway,
yeah.
They would add it to it, and then would crystallize.
Right.
And it was powerful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Even just crack cocaine, which is basically just purifying cocaine.
Right.
Yeah. It's like 99.9% pure cocaine. It was just
crazy.
But fentanyl, its sole purpose is just to kill people.
Kill people.
And it's in all sorts of things. We don't even know what are in these vapes. We don't know what's in these spice packets that people that in some states let them sell at the grocery store.
Look, Chris, it's in the papers today about the Chinese. They caught a Chinese with the chemicals. What's the name of those chemicals?
Well, what it was a chemical that they use in the environment in foods,
right?
And it was a research student at in Boston, I believe it was,
right?
And or was it University of Michigan? It was one of those,
right?
And basically, it's a bioterrorism investigation that the FBI made some arrests on. But they were Chinese students here on student visas. They were here lawfully.
Yeah,
you know. And so, don't get upset when we start revoking the student visas of people affiliated with the CCP.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Wake up, people.
Here it is here. The headline. Chinese nationals, plural, accused of smuggling dangerous biological pathogen into the U.S.
Yeah.
Not just single.
Well, they didn't smuggle it in the U.S. They made it in the U.S. and smuggled it out of their university.
Right. Yep. All right, folks, we'll be back after these messages with Chris Callahan.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And my special guest here is Chris Callahan, Judge Chris Callahan. I have him here for the whole show, folks, because to me, this situation in America is dangerous, and it's important for some of you to know what's going on right under your noses, folks. I talked to some Democrats and a couple of Republicans, and they don't know what the hell is going on. So I said to myself, look, I want the folks in our region and our listening area to know what's going on, and I have an expert, Chris Callahan, to give us, you know, his idea on what's going on. And now we're going to talk about solutions, Chris.
Okay. Now during the break, you had asked me one question about this pathogen. Can we talk about that?
Yes, please. Please.
Okay. So the pathogen that was found on the two Chinese nationals smuggling case is something called Fusarium graminearum. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Okay.
Basically, it's a fungal organism known to cause head blight in cereal crops such as wheat, barley, maize, rice, things like that.
Oh.
But it will devastate food supplies.
Whoa.
And so we were talking about the CCP attacking us on every front. They're trying
now
to attack our food
supply. Tell our audience
supply.
What the CCP is. I know what it is.
The Chinese Communist
Party. Okay. That's
right.
That's what CCP is.
The Chinese Communist Party. That's
okay.
Right. It's the government of China.
Right.
Yes. But in July of 2024, Zun Yonglu, a Chinese researcher, was intercepted at Detroit Metropolitan Airport carrying concealed samples of this fungus in his luggage. He initially denied the knowledge of it, having the materials, but later he admitted that he intended to use them for research at the University of Michigan. That's what I looked up on during the break.
Yeah.
Where his associate, Yongqing Jin, was employed, and the university didn't have the permits to handle that. But basically, the Chinese Communist Party is trying to attack our food supply.
Right, yes.
Through its
right.
Through these two of these 278,000
wow.
Chinese nationals here on student visas.
Right.
So.
Wow. Folks, that is very dangerous. You Americans out there, we Americans better open our eyes and wake up to what's happening in our country. Our country, folks. And what Chris just said is this product is used to kill the food market, the food products.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, are they doing it on purpose? Yes, they are.
They
folks.
Absolutely are doing it on purpose.
They're doing it. Okay, go ahead, Chris, please.
Well, you had asked about solutions.
Right.
I have some thoughts about that. And most of these, Trump is trying his darndest to do, and the Democrats are trying to stop it. The
right.
Democrats don't want solutions.
Right.
But secure the border with both physical and technological barriers.
Right.
That's a solution. And that's something Trump's already trying to do. That's to expand and reinforce the border wall where it's feasible, to deploy advanced surveillance techniques such as drones, sensors, cameras, to monitor remote access, to increase funding to Border Patrol agents and CPB or CBP infrastructure. A nation that cannot control its borders, we can't guarantee the security of the sovereignty.
Okay. I have a thought to that.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
For 4 years, the border was open,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it really started back with Obama, all right? So for a number of years, the border was open. They're here. What is a solution now to stop them? Because, you know, just like this pathogen, you know, these students. There was something else, Chris, and I can't think of it. They arrested a couple of Chinese for something. But remember,
they were flying drones over military installations.
Right. Yeah. And the COVID, Chinese labs.
Yes.
Look what happened. Look what they did to not only the United States, but the world.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chinese.
The Chinese, but not only was it the Chinese, but Dr. Fauci was directly related to that lab.
Right.
And was part of all that.
Right.
I mean, if you think that we don't have people in the Democrat Party actively working in concert with our enemies, with Iran,
right.
with Hamas, with China, with Russia, then you're out to lunch because it's happening.
Yeah, but Chris, I forgot. Our vice presidential candidate was in bed with the Chinese who ran on the Harris ticket. Remember?
Oh, Tim Walz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
That,
he taught over there for a number of years.
Okay.
In China.
Well, that makes
and
sense.
And he had Chinese come and set up offices. Yeah. Now, it is believed that those Chinese came, the offices were from the Chinese Communist Party, and they were after dissidents, Chinese dissidents who mm-hmm. were in America. Oh, he was in bed with the Chinese.
Wow. That doesn't shock me. It doesn't
right.
shock me. But we're talking about, you know, now that they're here, what do? One thing is we've got to end sanctuary cities, and we have to enforce the federal detainers
right.
that we have. And this is all stuff that Tom Holman says. This is all stuff that they're trying to do. But we've got to cut off funding to states and cities that refuse to cooperate with federal law. And not only do they refuse to cooperate, but they actually will harbor and help illegals get away. They help crime. I mean, it's a simple rule of, do you like crime or do you not like crime? We have crime here in Mobile, right? And we hear just at the Sanger Theater, two people got shot. Do we not want a safe city? Yes. Do we not want a safe country? Yes. We have to pass federal legislation, I think, that mandates compliance with immigration holds for violent or repeat offenders. That should be a no-brainer. If you're a violent and repeat offender and you're an illegal immigrant, then our law enforcement should hold you and notify the federal authorities to come get you. We're going to have to hold local officials accountable who obstruct federal law enforcement. I mean, if I'm a lawyer. I've represented people who just didn't comply with the police, and they got arrested for obstruction. And they go to jail. Okay, but then now you have officials, and just because they're government officials, they're allowed to obstruct law enforcement? I don't think so.
And nothing happens?
And nothing happens. That's right. No city should be allowed to nullify the law that shields us from criminal aliens.
I have a question.
Yes.
A very important question. And we only have like 3 minutes to go. But, you know, the feds can deputize local police, okay? State police and some of the others. And we did that for our task force when we had local police. I wonder if we can do it on a national level, okay, which it deputized a whole police force.
I'm not sure that.
Good question, right?
It's a good question. It sounds good in theory. I wouldn't agree with that personally. I think that it's too hard to manage and to control with, you know, billions and billions of people out there thinking they're federal agents now. I think, at some point we have to, we always have to be cognizant of people's rights and to become federal law enforcement, you go through such a rigorous and strenuous process of vetting. To become a police officer, you go through a vetting, but it's not the same. And I was a beat cop, you know. I got vetted, but I didn't get vetted like the FBI would have vetted me or something like that. Not that I'm a bad person, but you just don't know who all's out there.
Talking about like a city like New York. And we create these task force, okay? And New York has 40,000 police officers. But if we can deputize 1,000, you know,
I think what back when we had when I was a police officer, we had a federal task force called Innocent Images, and it was to try to combat child pornography, things like that. And we had several of our local law enforcement that were on that task force. So I think if you take certain officers and assign them to a federal immigration task force to help the feds in that area, that's a good idea.
Okay.
But I wouldn't just blanket deputize every police officer in America.
I'm trying to think of a way to get around these mayors, these sanctuary city mayors who order their police not to cooperate with the federal authority.
Congress needs to step in and pass a law against sanctuary cities.
That's good.
I mean, they're going to have to.
All right, folks. Chris, we appreciate it.
Time George, love you.
Like that. Folks, we appreciate Chris, Judge Chris Callahan coming on and telling us about what he thinks and how we can resolve some of this situation. All right, folks, time to get out of here. Until next week, Vicon Deus, everyone.